In the larger airports, like the one you have here in Portland, and certainly the one in Seattle, certainly after you pass through security and even before then, you see there's a great big electronic board that tells you whether your flight is arriving on time, leaving on time, and what gate you should present yourself to. Well, one day I was looking at one of those big signs in the Seattle airport, and to be sure that I was going to be at the right gate at the right time, and I sensed someone coming, kind of violating my space a little bit. And then the next thing I knew, I heard a woman's voice speaking right in my ear, and she said, "Okay, honey, let's go home." Well, I wasn't dressed like this, I can assure you. When I turned around, startled, the woman said to me, "I thought you were my husband." They must have been newlyweds, I guess. The question of our real identity. And the way I understand the text from this gospel text that I just read, it's Jesus asserting his true identity. His true identity. That he was to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. And not to be caught up in this kind of sort of lighthearted, you might say, banter almost with Satan. No, he had a mission that was given to him. And those temptations were not in any way going to deviate him from that mission that was in his heart and in his mind as the Son of the Father. Well, during this first Sunday of Lent, I think it'd be helpful to reflect upon how we share in that mission of Jesus, and especially at the Eucharist. There's a lot of other things that could be said about this text, as Father Charles said at the beginning. But I think it's a helpful time at the beginning of Lent to reflect on how the Eucharist helps us to participate in this very important mission of Jesus to transform the world. That's why he rejected all those temptations of Satan. The first thing I'd like to say about the Eucharist, I'll put it this way, not Father Charles, but if I were to be celebrating Mass and drop dead right after consecrating the bread and the wine, that wouldn't be the Mass. The Mass is not the transformation of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus. According to the law of the Church, if a priest drops dead after consecrating the bread and the wine, another priest has to come to continue and to terminate the Mass. The Mass is not just the consecration. Of course, that's very important. But the bread and wine are transformed for the sake of the mission of the people of God, so that Christ can be with us and deepen within us in our hearts the mission that we share with him. And that's important because if you notice at the Mass, just before the consecration of the bread and the wine, the priest, the bishop, extends his hands over the bread and wine and calls on God the Father to send the Holy Spirit to transform the bread and wine. But after the consecration, in the prayer just after that, the priest, without extending his hands, calls on the Father to transform us. And that's why the Mass doesn't end with the transformation of the bread and wine. Because the Mass is about our being transformed because of the transformation of the bread and wine. In some of the Eucharistic prayers, that's more clear than others. But in every case, there's a prayer in which the priest calls on God the Father to send the Holy Spirit so that we might be transformed and incorporated more completely into the body of Christ and into his saving mission. And that's why a communion service, when there's no priest, when a deacon or a layperson gives out communion, that's not the Mass. It's important, it's beautiful that we be nourished by the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus on some occasion perhaps as well. But that's not the Mass. The Mass involves our being transformed by the prayer of the priest, calling on God to send the Holy Spirit so that we may be transformed just as the body and the blood of Jesus have been transformed, and that we may be transformed by that so that we may continue our mission. And so it's important for us to listen to those prayers after the consecration and to accept that transformation as the important part of our mission. That doesn't mean that it's not important to come receive communion when there's no priest. No, that's very important, but it's not the Mass because it does not include that prayer that the priest only, or the bishop, can pray to the Father to ask us to be transformed. And so it's important to receive communion. It's important to receive communion at Mass because that is the chief element of our transformation, to receive the body and blood of Christ, to give us power to give us joy, to give us strength, so that we may carry out the mission of Christ, having been transformed. Now, I think I'll add this too. It's, you know, I notice here in this parish, in any other parish that you go to, there are people who come forward at communion time who, for whatever reason, judge that they cannot receive the Eucharist. And, of course, that's to be respected. And what they expect, and what the priest, deacon, or layperson sometimes too, is very happy to do, is to give them a so-called blessing. But you know, there's another element to that. As beautiful as that is, and as trustworthy as that can be, yes, that's good, that should continue. But that people who cannot for some reason receive the body of Christ or drink his blood should make a spiritual communion. A spiritual communion. You are familiar with a spiritual communion, I think, all right? So it's fine to get the blessing, but in a way that isn't all that you should ask for. You should ask that, dear Father in heaven, even though I cannot receive the body and blood of your Son, for whatever reason may be personal to that individual, please fill me with the Holy Spirit and make your Son present to me. That's a very authentic prayer. No matter what may be preventing us from coming to receive the body and blood of Jesus here at the altar, a very authentic prayer is the spiritual communion. So yes, come forward, receive the blessing, but don't let that be all that you look for when you come to Mass. You want to be transformed, even though you can't receive the Eucharist. And in order to be transformed, ask the Father in the pew privately or later on when you get home, Father, send me your Spirit. Transform me so that I may become more and more like your Son and share in his saving mission for the sake of the world. And finally, it's important to stay until the very end of Mass. Stay for the recessional, because that's where the mission is renewed in us. When the priest ends the Mass by whatever formula he may use, I sometimes use, our Mass is ended. Let us go forth and live what we celebrate for the glory of God. Now, when we say celebrate at Mass, that's got a technical meaning. It doesn't mean whoopee, like it does for the 4th of July or some other occasion. When we use celebrate at Mass, it's got a technical meaning, which means gathered in worship. Gathered in worship. So, let us go forth and live what we celebrate, gathered in worship, for the glory of God. And that's a renewal of the baptismal mission, and it's acknowledgement that we share in the mission of Jesus. And so if you leave before that, the recessional hymn, often at a Mass like this on a Sunday, is a way of solemnizing that mission that we all have, to make it very clear that we rejoice to be received the body and blood of Christ in any way, even spiritually, so that we may continue our mission with joy, with power, with strength, for the glory of God. Now, I don't know about you. I don't go to movies and theaters very often. But whenever I go, I never see people leave before the end of the movie. Do you? I mean, sometimes I walk out on a movie if I don't think it's worth watching, but that's way before the end. But I don't see people leave the movie theater before the movie is over. Why should we leave Mass before it's over? What's the big hurry? Now, sometimes, of course, there is a big hurry. It can be a lot of things. But our own personal rule and discipline should be to stay until the end of Mass. Just like you wouldn't walk out of the movie and miss the dramatic ending, whatever it's going to be. Well, stay. Stay and live the dramatic ending of the Mass. Have that mission of Christ renewed in your own heart by the word of the priest, and on a solemn occasion like a Sunday Mass, the recessional hymn that just emphasizes how important that mission is. I don't know about that lady in the airport. I hope she found her husband. It sure was not me. Let us declare our true identity at the Eucharist by being open to the transforming mission of Christ in our hearts and for the sake of the whole world.